Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be the last 12 recordings that Paul Whiteman made before BIX joined him. On October 27, 1927, BIX and Tram joined Paul Whiteman in Indianapolis, and the first recording that BIX made with Paul Whiteman was November 18, 1927. It was Hoagy Carmichael's composition Washboard Blues. Well, what I propose to do today is to go chronologically through the 12 recordings that Paul Whiteman made before BIX joined him. We go to August 19, 1927, when Paul Whiteman and his orchestra recorded for Victor, Camden, New Jersey, the Church Studio. Paul Whiteman was the recording director. The band consisted of Henry Bossi and Vic DiPolito on trumpets, Boyce Cullen and Wilbur Hall on trombone, Harold MacLean, flute, oboe, alto sax, Chester Hazlitt, clarinet, bass clarinet, alto sax, Charles Strickfaden, clarinet, oboe, baritones, sax, Max Farley, piccolo, alto sax, oboe, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, Matty Malnick, and Mario Perry on violin, Henry Perella on guitar, Al Armour on string bass, Mike Pingitore on banjo, and Harold MacDonald on drums. The first tune they recorded on that day was the Kalinda. Boo Joom Boo Joom Boo, a composition by Herman Hopfield. The vocalists are Bing Crosby, Jack Fulton, Charles Gaylor, and Austin Skin Young. The arrangement is by Ferdy Groffé. And the second tune that was recorded on that day was Just a Memory, a nice waltz by Buddy De Silva, Lou Brown, and Ray Henderson, again an arrangement by Ferdy Groffé. The band is essentially the same as I gave for the previous recording, except that Teddy Bartel is also there on trumpet. Tommy Dorsey is there on trombone. There is an additional violin, that's John Bowman. Ray Turner is on piano and Harry Perella is on celeste. Oh, I forgot to mention there is also Jack Fulton on trombone. So it's a four-man trombone section here. Okay, so let's listen then to Paul Whiteman before BIX August 19, 1927, the Kalinda, and Just a Memory.
Thank you.
Ordinarily, I play two recordings, give the information about them, and then go on to two other recordings and give the information about them. Today's program, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go by recording session. So in the previous recording session, there were two tunes that were recorded, so I played both of them. But in the next recording session, which is from August 20, 1927, only one recording was waxed. So I will play that recording, give the information, and then go to the next session. So this is August 20, 1927. Again, the Victor Talking Machine in Camden, New Jersey, Church Studio. Paul Whiteman is the recording director. Henry Bossi, Vic DePolito, trumpet. Tommy Dorsey, Wilbur Hall, trombone. Harold McLean, oboe. Chester Hazlitt, clarinet, alto sax. Charles Strickfaden, tenor sax, baritone sax. Max Farley, flute, baritone. Jimmy Dorsey, clarinet. Matty Malnek, violin. Harry Perella, piano. Al Armour, string bass. Mike Pingitori, banjo. Harold MacDonald, drums. The tune is It Won't Be Long Now by Buddy De Silva, Lou Brown, and Ray Henderson from the musical Manhattan Mary. Vocalists Bing Crosby, Al Rinker, and Harry Barris, the Rhythm Boys. The arranger is Matty Malnek. This is one of the outstanding White Band records made in the months preceding Big Spiderbeck's entrance into the band. I am reading for Don Reno's Paul Whiteman biography. The Dorsey brothers are heavily featured in what is arguably the hottest Whiteman disc made thus far. Jimmy Dorsey opens the record with four bars of bluesy clarinet. Malnek follows with a two-bar low register violin break, and then a small ensemble consisting of Malnek, Farley on hot flute, and Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet, anchored by Al Armour's pizzicato string bass, provides the undergirding for some fine hot trombone work by Tommy Dorsey. Brother Jimmy ad-libs for 16 bars of the verse on the key of C, treading two-bar breaks with a band Malnek, with Hall accompanying on guitar. Plays a four-bar solo, which leads into the Rhythm Boys' vocal chorus. After a key change back to F, there is a succession of hot solos, Malnek, four bars, Tommy Dorsey, having now switched over to the little cornet he often played backstage to entertain the band, four bars, Jimmy Dorsey, four bars, Brother Tommy again on cornet, four bars, and Farley on baritone sax, eight bars. Tommy breaks are plenty hot. One can readily detect the influence of both Louis Armstrong and Bix. The retarded coda at the end is all Dorsey brothers. So let's listen then to It Won't Be Long Now, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, August 20, 1927. Thank you.
laugh, sister, laugh, sister. Bet that's not true for us, wisdom all alone. It won't be long now. Soon we'll be heading down on a wet room. Now take my advice and go get a rice and fly, mortar, fly, mortar, happiness is around the corner. All aboard, it won't be long now.
Let's move on to August 22nd, 1927, when we had two tunes recorded. This again was the Victor Talking Machine Company in Camden, New Jersey, the Church Studio. The recording director was Henry Bussey, although he doesn't play in the first recording of the session. The trumpet players are Vic DiPolito and Bob Mayhew. We have Boyce Cullen and Wilbur Hall on trombone, Harold McLean, alto sax, clarinet, Chester Hazlitt, alto sax, tenor sax, bass clarinet, Charles Strickfaden, baritone, clarinet, tenor sax, Max Farley, clarinet, alto sax, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, Matty Malnek, and Mario Perry on violin, Harry Perella, piano, Al Armour, string bass, Mike Pingitori on banjo, Harold MacDonald on drums. The tune is Oh, Maybe It's You. It's an Irving Berlin tune that was played in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1927. The vocalists are Jack Fulton, Charles Gaylor, and Austin Skin Young, and the arranger is Ferdy Groffé. Don Reno tells us that this is a Groffé arrangement of the Irving Berlin Show. Tune features successive reed solos by McLean, Strickfaden, and Hazlitt, followed by a sweet trio vocal accompanied by muted hot trumpet. Presumably these trumpet breaks are played by Bob Mayhew, who, along with his reed playing brothers Nye and Jack, had joined the Whiteman band. Certainly not Bussey playing, his vibrato is unmistakable, nor is it Vic DiPolito, who possessed an identifiable nanny goat tone audible in his 16 bar solo later on this disc. Teddy Bartel had just left the band and was being replaced by the high lead man Americo Bono. This leaves young Mayhew about 1 week short of 17, who did in fact play hot trumpet somewhat in the manner of Big Spiderbeck, whom he greatly admired. The next recording from this session is Shaking the Blues Away, again an Irving Berlin tune from the Ziegfeld Follies of 1927. And I believe the band is exactly the same, with one exception. We have Henry Bussey on trumpet instead of Bob Mayhew. The tune is Shaking the Blues Away. It's an arrangement by Ferdy Groffé, and all the comments by Don Reno are that this is another big Irving Berlin number from the 1927 edition of the Ziegfeld Follies. Strickfaden is featured on baritone sax. So let's listen then to two tunes from the Ziegfeld Follies of 1927, recorded by Paul Whiteman on August 22nd, 1927, Oh, Maybe It's You, and Shaking the Blues Away. We now go to September 7, 1927. Again, the Victor Talking Machine Company in Camden, New Jersey, the church studio. The recording director is Paul Whiteman, and the composition is Mississippi Suite. There are two parts, and both were recorded on September 7 on a 12-inch 78 RPM record. The musicians are Henry Bussey, Vic DiPolito, and Americo Bono on trumpet, Boyce Cullen, Wilbur Hall, Tommy Dorsey trombone, Harold McLean, Chester Hazlett, Charles Strickfaden, Max Farley on reeds, Rube Crozier on bassoon, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, Mario Perry, and Matty Malnek on violin, John Bowman, S. Pasternak on viola, W. Lennartz, and an unidentified violoncello, Harry Perella on piano, Mike Pingitori on banjo, Fred Pfeff on brass bass, Al Armour on string bass, Harold MacDonald on percussion. The suite has four movements: Father of Waters, Huckleberry Finn, Old Creole Days, and Mardi Gras. The Father of Waters movement was not recorded, however, presumably due to insufficient space on a 12-inch record. The haunting Old Creole Days movement is beautiful, with Cullen's especially muted trombone, muted saxophones, low register violins, violas, and cellos blending together stirringly. The slow theme in the second half of the record is one of the most beautiful strains that Groffé ever wrote. Bossi leads during the finale, but the highest notes are taken by DiPolito, who could play in the stratosphere. Violinist Mario Perry wrote on his part Hokum on last page. So let's listen then to Ferdi Groffé's composition, Mississippi Suite, September 7, 1927, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra before Bix. The next four recordings I want to play are from the New Yorkers. Recently, a Jazz Oracle CD titled Americans in Europe became available with a number of recordings by the New Yorkers and by Frank Guarente. First two recordings I want to play are Who's Your Sweetheart and Sunny Disposition. According to the liners, the two recordings that I want to play, Who's Your Sweetheart and Sunny Disposition, are from the Jazz Orchestra, George Gerhardt's New Yorkers. And they were recorded in Berlin on September 28, 1927. Evelyn Basil is on trumpet, Herb German on trombone, Danny Polo clarinet, alto sax arranger, Milton Allen tenor sax, Jack O'Brien piano, Tony Moretto guitar, banjo, Dave Toth drums. And let me read to you a little bit from the liners. There is some information about George Gerhardt. He was born in Ashbury Park, New Jersey on July 21, 1903, but grew up in New York City. While he attended George Washington High, he was a member of a school band. During his studies at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, he was again member of a college band. He was sitting in with black musicians in Harlem night clubs and is supposed to have received banjo lessons from Elmer Snowden, leader of the Washingtonians, a band later taken over by their young pianist Duke Ellington. In 1925, at age 23, he assembled his first band for a 105 cruise around the world aboard the American Dollar liner SS President Polk. Danny Polo, clarinet and alto sax, was a member of this band. Shortly after their return, Gerhardt again with Polo was booked for a four-week cruise of the Baltic Sea aboard the Baltic American liner SS Estonia. For the coming summer session of 1926, he signed a contract with Adrian Dreschou, the New York manager of the French Compagnie Générale Transatlantique, to provide music for the passage from New York to Le Havre with a stopover in Southampton aboard the North American liner SS De Grasse. Well, I think that's about as much as I want to read from the liners. There is a lot of very fascinating information about this individual. Perhaps I'll read a little bit more. Gerhardt's name will not appear in jazz dictionaries. He was never a professional musician, and in the States he was never even an amateur musician except in school bands. He was never a member of AFM Local 802 or any other such federation in the U.S., yet he was leader of jazz bands that toured the world and left a legacy of recordings. So let's go on with the music. Of course, the important aspect of these next four recordings that I want to play is that they follow very closely Gene Goldcat and Pix and Tram. Who's Your Sweetheart, for example, has an arrangement which is basically the arrangement that Gene Goldcat used in his own recording. Let me read what the liners tell us about Who's Your Sweetheart. Toward the end of this engagement, they were invited to record two sides for the Homocord Company, the lively Who's Your Sweetheart and the beautiful Sunny Disposition. When the band went over to the recording studios in the morning, they found a singer waiting for them. Nobody in the band knew who he was. A few months earlier, Al Boley, who was born in Mozambique and was destined to become Britain's most popular crooner in the years to come, had arrived in Berlin, where he made some good-selling vocal sides.
Homocord insisted that he should be accompanied by the New Yorkers. We had never heard of Al Molly, but he had a good voice and sang a lot like Ross Colombo. Accompanied by Gerhardt's guitar, Molly sings on Sonny Disposition, and Gerhardt then continues with a solo of his own until Jack O'Brien takes over at the piano. Polo's clarinet adds embellishments to the finale. Who's Your Sweetheart is entirely instrumental, featuring brief solos by Basil on trumpet, Polo on alto sax, and German on trombone. Both arrangements were put together by Danny Polo, who had to improvise for the unrehearsed vocal tracks. There is no denying the influence of arranger Bill Challis. Polo, along with Big Spiderbeck and Frank Trombauer, had recorded both tunes with the Jim Goldcat Orchestra earlier the year when Challis was the band arranger. This was Dave Toff's recording debut, and nervous as he must have been, he provides a driving rhythm and some cymbal crashes. So let's then listen to the New Yorkers playing very much like the Goldcat had done earlier in that year. Who's Your Sweetheart, Sonny Disposition, 1927.
Thank you.
We now come to the last recording session of Paul Wineman before Biggs joined him. This is September 22nd, 1927. There are three numbers recorded at this session. It took place in the Victor Talking Machine Company, New York City, Liederkranz Hall. The recording director was Nat Schildkret. The musicians: Henry Bossi, America Bono on trumpet, Boyce Cullen, Wilbur Hall on trombone, Harold McLean, Chester Hazlitt, Charles Strick, Fadden, Max Farley, Reeds, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, Matty Malnek, Mario Perry, Charles Gaylor, violin, Harry Perel on piano, Ray Turner on celeste, Mike Trafficante, brass bass, Steve Brown, string bass, Mike Pingitori, banjo, Harold McDonald, drums, non-identified vibraphone. The first number recording at this session was A Shady Tree, composition by Walter Donaldson, and the vocalist is Mildred Hunt. This is a waltz arranged by Ferdi Groffé. Don Reno tells us this Groffé-arranged waltz features vocalist Mildred Hunt, whom Wineman had first heard sing at Lamb's Club dinner. He was so moved by her voice that he stopped eating. The trumpet solo near the end of the record appears to be played by Americo Bono, a top-notch lead man from Buffalo who had just joined the band. His clean, ringing tone differs from that of Bossi and DiPolito, both of whom played with distinctive vibratos, and that of Boy Mahieu, who played hot and had a lighter tone. The next number recorded at this session was Dancing Tambourine. The band is similar, but there are some changes. Boyce Cullen is omitted and Tommy Dorsey is added. I think that's the only difference. An instrumental arranged by Ferdi Groffé. Don Reno tells us it's a delightful record with an unidentified xylophonist, perhaps from the Victor Concert Orchestra, spotted prominently at the beginning. High points are when Strick Fadden, baritone sax, and Hazlitt, alto sax, swap four-bar breaks on the verse with witty violin figures underneath, and when Hall and Dorsey follow suit, trading licks back and forth on their trombones. Finally, we have Wang Wang Blues. This is a composition by Gus Muller, Theron Buster Johnson, and Henry Bossi. Wineman had recorded this very early in his career. And this is a small group. Henry Bossi on trumpet, Tommy Dorsey trombone, Mike Sparley baritone sax, Jimmy Dorsey clarinet, Harry Perella piano, Steve Brown string bass, Mike Pingitori banjo, Harold McDonald drums. This is a re-recording of the 1920 classic, one of Wineman's first for Victor, built around Henry Bossi's chorus. Jimmy Dorsey plays some fine hot clarinet propelled by Steve Brown's driving bass. The baritone sax hot clarinet duet after Bossi's solo is a highlight. The clarinetist, of course, is Jimmy Dorsey. Careful listening to the baritone sax leads one to the conclusion that this is fairly playing, not Strick Fadden. Strick's rich tone on this instrument was seldom replicated. Fairly played in a bit of a jazzier vein, which was perfect for this number. So let's listen to the last three recordings from the last recording session of Paul Wineman before Biggs joined him: Shady Tree, Dancing Tambourine, and Wang Wang Blues, September 22nd, 1927. Thank you. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this program of recordings by Paul Whiteman just before Bix joined him. It is very interesting to listen to Whiteman without Bix. And as I mentioned during the program, a very versatile musician and band could play classic waltzes and pretty good jazz also. Well, let's get back to Bix now.
Come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.